Blog Talk Radio.
I am immortal, I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond, far beyond the grave. I am immortal, I'll never rest in peace. And you're never gonna be, never gonna be, never be.
Awakening in Horror of Horror.
Am I on the air? Hello?
Oh, my
Hello?
God. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh,
and oh
hello.
My God, people. Alrighty, ladies, hold on, keep yourselves calm, because it is the horse symbol, Christopher Island.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's somebody else.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know, Mr. Highland.
Who is this Mr. Highland you're talking about?
Okay, well, who is this then?
This is a friend of Lucas, named Crayola.
Yeah, I know, Mr. Highland. Crayola. Yes, I know. Lucas Marlowe, stalker Crayola, yeah?
I don't stalk anybody.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe just a little bit when I want something.
Okay.
Like some money or a taco or something. You know.
Taco or something, yeah. Yeah, I know there. So it is Writers in Horror Month.
Oh.
And yes, it is. It's a very important month. You know, August, we are the horror community is showing recognition for authors and screenplay writers in horror.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Writers and screenwriters in horror, you know, they don't get a lot of recognition. I mean, you know, you see on a lot of the mainstream, they'll actually sit there and say, oh, yeah, this is by the screenwriter who did... such and such and such and such, but not so much in horror. And the thing is that, I mean, you look at, you know, say like the horror magazines and stuff, they don't do a lot of articles on horror writers or screenwriters. I mean, the fact is, if you're a horror writer, you pretty much have to be a beggar with a bowl, either that or you have to pay them to actually get them to do anything about you. I mean, it's pretty sad. I mean, you know, once in a while they might do a review of a book or something, you know, but that's if the author is a buddy of theirs or something. But you know, for the most part, you know, it's very hard to get promotion as a writer. I mean, you know, we do have wonderful organizations like Goodreads and that, and you know, that help us out.
Oh, writers are just treated like speed bumps. People will literally physically step on them. They'll get stepped on by the actors and the producers and directors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's funny, you know, because, I mean, you think about a horror film, you know, yes, the director is important. Yes, the actors are important. But the thing is, it is the writer who writes the story. It's the writer who comes up with, you know, I mean, it was the writer that came up with, you know, writer Wes Craven, who came up with Freddy Krueger. It was Victor Miller who came up with the backstory for Jason Voorhees and that. But, you know, here's the funny thing, Crayola. My associate and I, Derek Young, we spent almost 3.5 years trying to get Victor Miller, the creator of Friday the 13th, into horror conventions. And we kept getting the same thing. He's just a screenwriter. He's not going to bring in a crowd. Yeah, but they'll have, Harry Manfredini at a convention. And Harry Manfredini is a composer. But the actual man who created Mrs. Voorhees, created Jason, created Camp Crystal Lake, is treated like fucking dirt. That fucking angered me. It angers me. The way that writers are treated. Because if there was no Victor Miller to write Friday the 13th, there wouldn't be a Friday the 13th. Because, when it comes down to it, Sean Cunningham couldn't write himself out of a fucking paper bag. But when it comes down, when it comes to the writing, that's the important part. That's where you come up with the characters. That's where you come up with the situation. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that, Crayola?
Sure. So I'd like to see a convention where it's just the writers as the guests. I think the balance would shift in how those conventions are viewed.
They actually do have literary conventions, but they don't get a lot of traffic because the thing is that screenplay writers or that are not usually welcome at the literary conventions, which is unfortunate because the screenwriters, they get treated like shit, literally by everybody.
But they don't focus on the horror genre specifically, do they?
No. There was actually one convention where they tried to do just horror authors, but the thing is that the horror authors had to put up the money themselves to get there to buy the venue, and that it was done by a whole bunch of horror authors. And the problem is that they didn't have a lot of money for promotion, and they lost their shirts on it. It was a shame. But that was a reaction to the fact, Days of the Dead, for example. If you're a horror author, they expect you to pay for your own hotel. They expect you to pay for your table. They expect you to pay for your flight, and what they do is they put you in the vendor's room, and I recall, and yes, I am going to say this again, because this is still a truth nowadays as much as it was when it was said to me. The head of Days of the Dead said that the only place that an author belongs is in the back of the vendor's room. That is outrageous. You have some outstanding authors in that, and they do not belong in the end of the vendor's room. They belong being treated with the same respect as directors, actors, and special effects people, and documentary filmmakers. documentary filmmakers get treated better than horror authors by convention. It's outrageous. We write the horror film, and we get treated like dirt, while a damn documentary filmmaker who's just writing and putting together a bunch of images from the fucking movies, they get treated better than us. That is ridiculous. And that is the reason, Crayola, why myself and a few other authors and a few fans who are part of Goodreads, including Amber Buttram, also known as the Terminator at Goodreads, we got together and we decided that we'd had enough, and we were going to put together a month where horror fans get together and give recognition to horror authors and screenwriters and give them the respect that they deserve. And that is why we came together and decided to do Writers in Horror Month. I mean, I'd already inspired people when I founded Artists in Horror Month, even though Women in Horror Month really got pissed off at me about that because I wanted to do this little email recognition thing, you know, and I was stealing their glory. Oh, give me a break. You know, with artists, you know, with writers in horror, what we are looking at is we are looking at all writers. I mean, male, female, gay, you know, any of them, any writer in horror who deserves recognition. And all we're asking is that people write about them. You know, put up a picture of your favorite author, or that, or do a profile on an author that you really love in horror, or a screenwriter. You know, talk about your favorite screenplays in horror, or that. You know, it's anything. You know. That you can do to give these people recognition. You know, I mean, you know, if you have a podcast this month, put a screenwriter or that. I mean, shoot, I just had Scarlett Fi on, and I wished them a happy Writers in Horror Recognition Month, and we talked about screenwriting a little bit, you know. This is the time. I mean, the horror community is changing. There's a reshuffling of stuff in horror, and it's time. It's time that the screenwriters and authors get the recognition they deserve. I mean, don't you feel that way, Crayola? Don't you think? Because, I mean, I know your favorite author is, of course, Mr. Christopher Hyland.
No. My favorite is Edgar Poe. When I've read his stories, they give me the heebie-jeebies.
Cool. So, you know, I mean, you know, yes, you know, I mean, Grail, I know that a lot of people are going to go for, like, Clive Barker or Stephen King and just talk about them. But the thing is, there's a lot of other authors. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of independent authors. There are splatterpunk authors, you know, like myself. You know, there are... You know, all these independents, there are self-published horror authors that are out there. I mean, yeah, you know, right now in book publishing, there's a glut of authors and there's a glut of books. But there are authors out there that still have not gotten any recognition, and they've done some outstanding work. I mean, honestly, you know, when it comes to horror books right now, you can honestly say that horror books are better than the film. They've had a better track record because there are just so many excellent horror books out there. I mean, you know, short story books and all that. I mean, you know, there are movie adaptations that are far better than the films that they were made from. I mean, which one was it that Christopher Hyland's always talking about that the adaptation was better than the actual film?
I don't know. Have you read it?
No, I haven't read it, but he's always talking about Poltergeist 2.
Oh, okay. I don't know that one.
You don't know about Poltergeist 2?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, anyways, you know, that's cool. Anyways, yeah, so that's the adaptation of the film Poltergeist, and Christopher Hyland has been raving about it for years. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, my God, I read the book adaptation of Poltergeist 2, and it's just this work of absolute art. Well, you know, I mean, I can understand that. I know that there's a lot of book adaptations of horror films that I even agree with that they're better than the film because they go into more detail. You know, I mean, you know, one thing that's important in writing horror is that you have to make the characters sympathetic, and you have to connect the audience to the characters. You know, the more that you care about the characters, the more, you know, you're going to be scared or you're going to be shocked when something happens in either the book or the screenplay. Well, in books, I mean, shoot, you know, that's the main thing is that you have to build solid characters because, you know, people are reading, and you have to really make the characters live for the people who are reading, because they have to imagine everything in their head. So it takes a lot more to actually doing characters in a book. You having digestive problems there, Crayola?
No, I'm just having some breathing problems, clearing the sinuses, clearing my throat.
Okay, well, yeah, clearing. Okay. So, anyways, yeah. So, you know, as far as, you know, as I said, with writers in horror, what I am asking people to do is, you know, just write about these people. Talk about them. You know, acknowledge the value of screenwriters and authors. Because the thing is, I mean, there's been some situations that have happened recently that have been really bad. Like, I mean, you're dealing with Amazon. Amazon.com, for an example. Thing is, Amazon recently, you know, there's been a lot of troll reviews and stuff on Amazon, and people have been getting that. You know, not just me. I mean, you know, I've talked about troll reviews on here, and I've talked about the harassment that I've gotten on Amazon from people like Tom Gulley and Alan.
Are these trolls that live under a bridge?
They should. They should live under a bridge because they're fucking ugly people. But anyways, and the thing is that they write these nasty reviews on people's books when they haven't even read the books. And the thing is that all it is that they have a stick up their butt about the author. You know, it's not about the work, it's about the author. Well,
I think they have a cactus up their butt.
Yeah. And the thing is that what is happening is that Amazon is not pulling these troll reviews. No matter how much fans in that, you know, are complaining about these things, Amazon is doing nothing. But then, on the other hand, what Amazon is doing now is they're going in and they're pulling positive reviews. They're pulling positive reviews because if they find out that the person knows the other person on Facebook, they'll actually go onto Facebook. Look at, you know, people from Amazon will go on Facebook, look at people's friends list, and if they see that, oh yeah, this person's written a review on their book, they'll pull the review. It doesn't matter if the person is being perfectly honest and, oh yeah, you know, and the fact that maybe they are on the person's friends list now because they wrote that wonderful review and the person started talking to them and stuff because they read, you know, did this wonderful review on them. No. Amazon is pulling these reviews and leaving the troll reviews. So these people, you know, these authors' Amazon ratings are being plummeted. Which just totally amazes me. They're doing that. And this is some of the shit, and it's a lot, mostly it is happening to horror authors. And I have a lot of friends who are horror authors and that are going through this. I mean, they'll have a book that has had like 10 good reviews and maybe 4 troll reviews. But then what will happen is Amazon will take out 3 or 4 of the good reviews and they'll go from like a 4-star to a 3.5 or a 2-star. And it's like, why? You know, it's outrageous. Wouldn't you say that, Crayola?
I don't think it's fair.
No. No, it's not fair at all. I mean, you know, what these trolls and that don't understand is that some of these authors have put like 2-3 years of their lives into these books. That, you know, a filmmaker, they have crews and stuff. But an author, they only have themselves. They have to sit there and they've put in blood and sweat into their writing just to have some little prick who's got a stick up their ass about them. They don't like, oh, well, this person wrote a review, or, oh, I don't like this person on Facebook, so I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to fucking give this, you know, tear down their Amazon rating or tear down their book to put them in their place. Well, you're not putting them in their place. You're being a jackass, and that is being fucking inhuman to somebody. Somebody has fucking worked. I mean, the thing is that most authors in horror, you know, they do their writing when they can. They have to work. I know authors who are working at Payless Shoe Source. You know, they're working like two jobs, and they're doing their writing when they can, and their writing is so important to them, but they have to put food on the table for their family. And they do this writing as something special, and for a legacy. They're not going to make a shitload of money. I mean, most authors in horror don't make a lot of money. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, when I see the quarterly sales for Linkville Press, it's like, okay, ooh, it's coffee at Starbucks time, pretty much it. But it's getting your work out there. It's hearing from the fans. It's getting told that you've done good work. But these scumballs can't see that. They can't understand stuff like that. So they have to hurt these people. It's terrible. But this month, that isn't going to be happening. This month, those writers and that, they're going to get recognition. They're going to get told that they have value. By hook or by crook. And that's what I'm asking the horror community. Give these people their recognition. Give them a thank you for what they've had to give. Because writing is bleeding. It's taking your arm and slicing it and putting blood on a page. You know, almost. Because a blank page is a frightening thing, and trying to fill that page is an even frighteninger job. And it takes a special person to actually fill those pages. It takes a very brave person to open themselves the way that a writer does. You know, even writing a screenplay takes a lot. I mean, yeah, you know, screenplays are done in a shorthand, you know, and, you know, it's like what I, you know, what I say in my lectures, you know, that's why I don't agree with fan, you know, what these, what a lot of these fans call fan fiction. It's not fan fiction, it's fan script, because it's written in a shorthand. You know, it's supposed to be the blueprint for a film. You know, that's what a screenplay is. It's not that the, you know, it's not that the writer hasn't put everything into it. Yes, he has. It's just different from writing prose and building a world around your characters, you know, setting the stage in words. That's what an author does. Wouldn't you say that, Crayola?
Yeah.
I mean, to be a writer is to be God, literally. I mean, you know, God is a writer. I mean, seriously. And we are his characters. He writes our lives and we live our lives. And the way that a writer knows that he is doing his craft right is that eventually his characters start writing the books themselves. If you're an author who is doing it right, your characters are telling you what to do. That's the funniest thing. And it's one of the most joyous things is when you see that is actually happening. Because it's one of the greatest feelings that you have. You know, you write each page with excitement, and you know, it's like, what are they going to do now? And it's never what you expect. It's what the characters tell you. I mean, usually you have a plan for a plot, and, you know, for the most part, you get what you want, but it's always done just a little bit different than what you expected. And that's because your characters are enforcing their will upon the writing. I don't know. Have you ever read anything like that, Crayola?
If I have, it's been a long time.
Oh, it's been a long time since you've read anything, or been a long time since you actually wrote anything?
No. Read what you described.
Huh. But it's interesting when you actually do that, when there's this little bit of fairy dust in it. When the characters come alive. And it's funny when you go in to a book with an expectation, and by the end of it, your expectations is like totally blown away, because it's like, oh my God, I never thought it was going to go that way. So, anyways, alrighty. So, anyways, yeah, so, as I was saying, Paulies and other people listening, because I know there are probably going to be a lot of other people listening that are not my regular listeners, because they're going to be going, oh, what is he going to be talking about? And that's the thing. I mean, you know, this month.
They don't know me.
And they don't know Crayola or Mr. Highland or Crayola or any of the, you know, that. But anyways, so I'm going to end the show with this and just tell people, you know, please celebrate the screenwriters and celebrate the authors in horror, because they deserve to be celebrated. Because if it wasn't for them, the horror genre would not exist. So just remember that when you're watching your favorite slasher film, that some writer wrote that. It wasn't just that some director directed it. Some writer wrote that. Or if you watch that latest episode of Hannibal, a screenwriter wrote that. A screenwriter wrote those scenes. It wasn't just the actors playing that scene, a writer wrote. So anyways, you got any last words to say there, Crayola, on Writers in Horror Month, or
that? No, just keep making them scary, and I like to just a rumor that's being spread about me.
What rumor?
I am not the world's greatest sex machine.
Oh, we can't believe that. I mean, you know,
it's not true.
You're a dynamo.
It's not true.
Of course it is.
They didn't get to you too, did they? No.
I'm just telling you, ladies just think you're cute as a button. So, that's just the way it is.
That's why they buy me drinks.
Of course they do. Yes, because it's special. Alrighty, so anyways, that is going to be our show for tonight for me and Mr. Crayola, a.k.a. Mr. Highland, wink, wink.
I'm not Mr. Highland.
This William Patterson, a.k.a. Eric Morris, a.k.a. the King of Splatterpunk. For the Wolf Pack presents Keep America Strong, watch horror films, and release the beast.
Bye-bye.
I am immortal. I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond.